This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Previously on the HeadGum Podcast.
I feel like none of my farts have gotten into any of these past episodes. And there was a couple SBD ones, some really, really silent farts that I think you removed just because you know me when I'm tooting and you're taking out the tiniest little bit of air. I appreciate that.
Exactly. I've got this preset. It's called Jake Farts. Mm-hmm. It just scans over your audio track.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to get room tone. You got to get room tone because I'm just farting nonstop and you have to remove that after the fact.
Yeah. So I'll take a fart sample, in fact, and I'll tell Adobe Audition to remove everything that sounds like that. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of
things
do.
And so a lot of your breaths are gone too because of that.
Because they also smell like shit.
Hey. So hey.
Any stinky gas that comes out of your mouth or ass will just sort of disappear.
It shouldn't be that way, by the way. This isn't like you're making more work for Ferris. Like he's being nice about it, but like he had to take room tone. Like you shouldn't have to take room tone for a podcast.
Well, I have a gastrointestinal disorder. Okay.
What's it called?
Fartsation.
It's like rosacea, but yeah. Fartsacea.
So that's when my farts are a rash.
Welcome to another edition of the HeadGum Podcast, Audit Edition. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, we're 3 weeks into this thing. My confidence has been broken down brick by brick. So I don't want to dilly-dally. I'm just going to get into it. I've brought on two of my closest friends, two people who know me better than anyone else in the world, who only have my best interests at heart, and Marika. And the idea here is to kind of get a personal touch on it. So please welcome to the show Peter George Saba, Riley Marie Jude Anspaugh, and Brownlee Struthers.
Sure. Thank you for having us. It's been a minute.
Thank you.
Both of you haven't been on since October, September-ish.
I've never been on with Riley before, which is very exciting.
Well, I'm so happy to be here with Marika and George.
You've also never been on with me.
Well,
George, Riley, I filled you in a little bit, but basically what happened was 3 weeks ago, Amir Blumenfeld chewed me out publicly on a all-hands company Zoom meeting. He called me a dork ass. He said I was Johnny Bravo if he fell asleep in a tanning bed. He said I was a poor man's Jake Johnson, but not as a compliment. And he also said that I looked like a hieroglyph when I stand up straight. And that was just like, that's scratching the surface. There are other things that I can't even air, and that's coming from me, someone who likes to say people's personal address. Like, George, you live at...
Yeah, and we live together.
Yeah,
so
you doxed yourself.
You doxed yourself.
I think that should be kept in, Ferris.
But it's against your interests.
Well, look, I'm strong. I can protect myself.
I've been getting weaker and weaker as the year goes on.
I guess the first thing that I think of when someone's like... has someone's address from the internet, I don't think of them like immediately going to fight the person in the house. I think of like they're probably going to do some other things. So I maybe don't rely on your strength.
Well, but also we're talking about Jeff. So they might fight Jeff. George, I think, is probably fine. They might drop off a gift or like a basket. Gift basket.
That would be really nice. Actually, definitely drop George off a gift basket.
So they'll drop it off at the front and then go around back.
And beat your ass.
Shit out of me, But yeah, so the lessons I've learned so far, I've tried to keep my ears open and my eyes wide in an innocent way. And we had Zach Dunn on, a friend of George and I's, a couple weeks ago. He taught me a lesson that I need to, instead of looking at a mirror and placing all the blame there, I need to take that blame and place it on the mirror. Look inwards, be self-reflective. And then last week we had Melanie Bracewell on the show. And
her
main critique was that a lot of the game segments, which is why we had her on because she's been on panel shows and this has kind of become a panel show, is a lot of the segments are samey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she said. And then
what
again,
what does that mean?
What's that? Sorry, I've been trying not to
what
say
what does it mean
that.
To be samey?
Samey?
It was
samey, like they're all a little too
similar. Yeah, but she said it samey, which was like cute and a nice way of saying it. That oh,
she probably said it like samey, like that, mm-hmm. like samey.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. good. So she complained that a lot of the segments are, you know, games where you only have two options, where it's either mm-hmm. this or that. And wait, let me look back at my notes for today. We might have a little bit of that, but it's not both.
Well,
of them.
I mean, listen, Jeff, like that's all well and good. And I'm really glad that you're taking it. Seems like you're taking that to heart. But I think it's really important that you brought George and I on because it's like we're not here to talk about the games. We're not here to talk about the structure. We're here to talk about you. Right. It's like we're like character witnesses in a way. And so it's like I'm glad that like we have today to really dive in deep to the man in the mirror, to Jeffrey Aaron James.
Yeah.
And like really kind of like see what's going on.
And you guys know me like outside the show, you know, because sometimes I think people think that I'm some kind of maniac, some kind of free-for-all daredevil type and Evel Knievel and Eddie Haskell type.
No one thinks you're that.
No one thinks I'm Eddie Haskell?
Definitely not.
But you guys know that I'm a chill dude. Like I can hang, George.
Yeah, you can hang. Like you're cool. You're a good friend of mine. One of my best friends.
Sorry, I'm just gonna like, if Amir, if you're listening, that's a pretty good endorsement.
It was tepid at best.
I mean, I don't have a great judge of character.
And I'll cut that out because that goes again. That doesn't.
I'll just say it again. I don't have a great judge of character.
Yeah.
And that one, I can't cut it out twice. So
George did just say he does not have a great judge of character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's two different tracks that audio is
going to be on. It's going to be a pain to get rid of it now.
From now on, let's treat this as a normal episode. We'll wax. We'll get to know each other even more. We'll play some games. There will be some cash prizes.
Really?
What's that?
There's going to be cash prizes?
Yeah. So we give out real money on the show now.
Oh, my God. It's so different from when I last came on.
It's really, we found our stride, I think, in like November.
And so that's coming out of your pocket. You're directly paying people for these games.
Venmo. Yeah.
That's
he
amazing.
Paid Caleb Heron,
Jeff.
$1,300 recently.
Oh, my God. Jeff, that's almost all of your stimmy.
Yeah, well, I had to get it back. I groveled, and I actually had to make a back room deal with Caleb to
get the money back that you gave him.
Yeah, because it was prize money, but then I realized I couldn't afford rent, and so I had to call him, and I said, hey, I really need this money back.
Okay.
He said, what's in it for me?
Sorry, just take it slow. I just need to write a couple things down to send to Amir.
What did you write down?
What did Caleb say? What did you say to Caleb?
I begged Caleb and he said, what's in it for me? Which I thought was kind of messed up because it was my money. I basically made a backroom deal with him to encourage Marty and Amir to make the new HeadGum studio as close to their neighborhood as possible.
Wait, sorry. You made close to Caleb's neighborhood. I thought it was like close to Marty and Amir's neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was like, what does Caleb stand to gain? What a bizarre leveraging move.
How even is this a backroom
Caleb
deal,
really cares about how much, like about their mileage, about their carbon footprint, wants to make sure that they're getting to work in a good way.
He wants to make sure that they as CEOs lower their carbon impact.
Caleb always has the CEO's interest at heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you'll go on record saying that?
I will. Lock it in. Do not cut that out, Ferris.
But anyway, let's get into it. Enough about the intro. You guys know what's going on. We're being audited. You guys are my close friends, so any positive feedback that you have is great. Positive reinforcement, because my confidence is at an all-time low. But I also will take constructive notes.
Is now a good time to like talk about review, like how you are there, or is this just a HeadGum podcast thing?
I think it would be a great time to talk about review also, because I feel like it's got to bleed in. Like they both have to
I
be
mean, it's
the
like,
same
I,
things.
We've never had this kind of like platform to be able, like or I've never had an in to be like, oh my God, now I can finally give him all of the feedback that he's been needing, you know?
I think this is the perfect place for that.
I almost fear that it'll be the tipping point. I almost fear that that might put me over the edge.
You almost fear it?
No, because I don't know, because it might be it might be all positive to me, and ideally it's that.
Here's the thing, is the feedback is not just from me, and I wish it was, but it's like, it's from every guest we've had on. It's from every listener.
Gall wrote, I would say, an essay. Yeah,
he really did. Oh my God. It was so well written too, which is like, he's just the best. Daniel has been running his fucking mouth about it. Sorry to go that far, but it's like I can't stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That's,
but we don't have to do that right now. We don't actually, let's go on. We can do this later. There's nothing better than being told that, hey, let's talk later and then not doing it right now. So let's get into it. And then we can maybe.
Now I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Now I'm uncomfortable. Yeah, let's focus on just doing this show. And then at any point in the show, Riley, if you want to just like jut in and be like, actually, that's, you know, if that reminds you of something that a guest said or that a note that you have from the other show, just let me know. And then, yeah, just an overall thing. Just anytime that you feel like you need to butt in with positive feedback, negative feedback, constructive feedback, just say stop. Just yell stop. And then that's like your chance to end the, you know, insert commentary. And then we'll say podcast proceed.
Jeffrey, can I jump in right now?
Yeah.
Well, George, you got to say, you got to do
you
it.
Gotta you got to yell
stop. Well, I didn't know we'd started yet.
We've started.
Good point.
We're started now and okay, go and stop.
So fast, but yeah.
Well, I just want to say all this lead up. I think you're actually doing a really good job. And if anything, Marika and Riley are antagonizing you because I think they are braced for you to do something awful, which is fair. History has shown that. But I think in spite of that, you're actually doing a good job conducting this train, and you've only yelled, "What's that?" maybe once, and then you called yourself out on it twice.
Yeah.
I think this is real. I think you're doing a good job. I think, I mean, granted, the inciting incident for this whole thing happened 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, you think you'd be over and maybe zero podcasts.
There it is. There it is.
But I think you're doing a good job. Podcast proceed.
Stop. Sorry. Stop. You know, that actually reminds me, you know, George saying that it's like all that's true, George. I think Jeff, like in the face of everything, you are really you're taking a good lead on it.
In the face of adversity, I shine. Yeah.
That being, you know, that little point George brought up of like, oh, this happened 3 weeks ago. Like you're really still holding on to it. Like you can't seem to shake it. Like that actually bleeds. I want to say that bleeds into the other show. And that is just like you can't seem to let anything go. Like, we like even like, oh my God, when Finn and Billy were on and like they like I was having such a good time with them. It's like we've had
I
them
was
on multiple
too until
times.
A point.
Well, that's the thing is like even in our episode with Lamorne and Billy, you brought it up and we cut that out. But you were like, sorry, Finn is just like, God, could you believe that fucking
it
guy?
It sticks with me. It builds. Yeah.
And you got to like let it go. Thank you, George, for bringing that up. All good points. Jeff, you can't let anything go to save your life.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, I have nothing to add.
Well, onward, right? I'm shaky emotionally, but we'll move on.
Disney Pixar's onward. Anyway.
Anyway, Disney Pixar's onward.
Stop.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, you keep doing this thing, and it's great, it's vulnerable, where you sort of share how kind of sad you are, and then you laugh it off almost immediately. And I think it's losing its charm. I think it's you've lost mileage on it. I think if you have grievances to air, you should do it. And you shouldn't just take these bullets like a little human voodoo doll. I think you should like, I don't know, either open up or maybe like save it for later off the pod rather than these little snippets that spark concern in us. And it's like, hey, we should explore that. But then sort of band-aiding it with joy.
Yeah.
To add to that. Not even just the laughing it off things, but like maybe we'll find later on that we'll be talking, the three of us will be having a great time and Jeff will just be sitting there with some sort of face on, not engaging, looking sad, looking like he has no way to jump in.
Maybe with a prop.
Yeah.
It's hard.
He might
like,
be holding a pipe.
He'll definitely be holding a pipe.
Sometimes the conversation gets away from me and I just don't know how to relate. Relatability was another note from Zach Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find ways of human connection because that's what podcasting is all about, is it's storytelling. And sometimes I don't have anything to add and then that makes me sad, which takes away from being glad.
I think if it makes you sad, the thing is that you just don't show it. Don't show it on your face. Don't say it.
Okay, so don't emote as much.
Yeah, because we see it, we're talking, we're having fun, and then we look to your corner and you're just scowling. You're like, we can't tell if maybe you're about to cry. It's very jarring and upsetting to us, and then we have to say something about it. And then that's not good for the listeners.
And it's interesting you say look to your corner, because sometimes I look to my corner and it doesn't feel like anyone's in it. you know? Mm. And to George's point, it's like, I get that I've built a reputation for myself of being
pipes in your hand, yeah. Right? I see the pipe in your hand. So already, like, you did bring up, like, oh, this is something that makes me feel vulnerable. No one's in my corner. Yep. And now you have the pipe in your mouth. Yep. So you're actually not going to fully, well, you don't. I don't think that's not true, Ellen. You don't fully get it. You're not going to fully engage. Because you're like, now you're just kind of like a prop comic. You're devolving. You're devolving into prop comedy. And so you don't actually have anything to put on the table. You rhyme and you hold a pipe. I just want to point back to like maybe 45 seconds ago. You're like, oh, it makes me sad. And then I'm not glad or whatever the fuck you said. You do a rhyme and then you put a pipe in your mouth. And then that you're like, oh, ba-dum-ch. But there's no ba-dum-ch. We're just kind of all left. Like, what are we supposed to do to that? Then the conversation becomes about the pipe. And so then, oh, we have to stop for a whole conversation just to make you feel like a big man. Oh, a big man with big pipe in a closet, right? Sorry, yeah. Podcast proceed. That I just had to throw that little, that those two cents in there as well, because that was some great feedback, Marika.
Thank you.
So what is going on with you guys?
I've started making wine at home.
You're making wine?
I'm making wine, like right in my living room.
That's insane.
Yeah, just like I bought a bunch of fruits at Costco, me and our friend Sarah Linden. We bought a bucket from Lowe's, a food safe bucket. I watched one YouTube video. And basically we're on day two of the first ferment. So very we're going to see if I can make wine in a bucket.
My dad makes wine in that same way, I assume, because I know that he's got buckets of fruit that sit in somewhere. So you're probably on a good path.
Has it turned out well?
I mean, he brings it to family gatherings and to chef events. I don't think he sells it, but... He's sharing it around. It's definitely drinkable at the very least.
I might have to reach out to your dad with some questions. I keep having anxiety dreams about the wine because I have to stir it a lot. And I'm like, oh, like I'll wake up. It's like, I didn't stir it enough today.
What kind of fruits? What kind of fruit? Like what kind of blend are you making?
Blueberries, raspberries, and grapes.
Raspberry wine?
Yeah. So they said to cut it with fruit because unless you have like really like natural grapes.
Oh, got it.
I was like, we just got these from Costco.
So it's still vino. It's just you have to like... cut it with the sour stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's fermented fruit drink.
My dad makes peach wine and like blueberry wine. That's what he's using a lot.
How many weeks do you have to ferment it? Because I used to make beer in college, and so I know that it was like a 6 to 8 week thing.
And that's a good question. I'll have to ask Marika's dad, because the one video I'm basing all of this off of, he doesn't say how long it takes, and I've tried Googling it, and it's kind of unclear.
Are you just going to, like, taste as you go?
Well, I know, like, as soon as this first ferment starts bubbling, I do what's called racking the wine, where I put it into bottles, and it does, like, its slow oxidation. And then at that point, I guess I just blindly taste it until it becomes, like, not vinegar. I'm really going blind.
And the wine will make you go blind.
Yeah. You're just drinking vinegar and hoping it'll taste wine.
Well, speaking of going blind, the big part of my concern is like, I don't want it to mold over because, you know, I've put in like $89 into this whole endeavor, which isn't that much money, but I'm kind of like, I should get some sort of outcome. And so I don't want it to grow mold. So I wipe down the bucket all the time, but with like a Clorox wipe. And I have to get like kind of close to the wine or the fruit mash. And I don't want the Clorox wipe to touch it because there's bleach on the wipe. And so I don't want there to be bleach in my wine.
Yeah, which one is worse, the bleach or the mold?
And that's that should be a new segment, bleach or mold.
Bleach or mold,
the podcast. Mm-hmm.
You're becoming Jessica Coslow.
Well, yeah, that was another thing. If it's like, it was more scrape off the top. This isn't, not selling this.
Yeah. The squirrel jam.
The squirrel jam lady.
That's what I thought.
Who sold
well.
Moldy jam. Which I guess, I mean, she said it, so I don't know if you want to trust her, but she said that it was fine to have. And if George is scraping mold off this living room wine, I feel like it's going to be fine.
There's bathtub gin and living room wine.
Den whites and reds.
Living room wine.
Was that red wine?
Red wine, but living room wine.
That's good.
Not a direct match.
Oh. You got the laugh track for that.
I guess we should talk about Matt Gaetz. I saw a tweet that was like, Matt Gaetz is like
stop.
The perfect example.
Yeah. I think we don't have to, number one. Know. Just the first one, we don't have to. Also, I feel like last week, this was kind of, or maybe it was the week before, some of the feedback was in a way like be less topical.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just thinking.
Well, we did
that.
The Fauci thing. We did the Rand Paul bit.
That didn't go over well.
That did not go over well with anyone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody. But I thought the issue there was that I was kind of giving him a platform to spew nonsense.
Yeah. And I think I stopped you before you did the same here. For sure.
Thank you, Marika.
Yeah, you're welcome. We can proceed, maybe just with something else, though.
Jeff, was that the only segment you had planned?
I have more. I just was trying to, like, keep it open, because when we get into the segments, it's kind of really locked in.
So you wanted to open with that. Sorry, go, George.
No, you're fine. I'm sorry for, I didn't know if you were finished or not.
You're good.
I feel like you guys haven't said anything positive about
me. I actually opened with something specifically positive, and I will say, before this podcast, I was like, I feel like Jeffrey's going to make me talk about Matt Gaetz. So I Googled Matt Gaetz to make sure I know what it's about, but then I got distracted. But I'm glad. So I didn't actually end up figuring out what the hubbub is.
And we're not going to talk about it. So you were saved by the Brownlee.
Well, I know. So I've dodged a bullet. I just want to say I knew it was coming. I can show you my history, my like search history. I really Googled back. I was like, this is going to come up.
Yep.
So what's the note there? Just don't talk about topical stuff. Cause like, I do have a segment that is kind of topical. It's apolitical, but it's topical. Is it you want me to be apolitical? Because I feel like to some degree we have to talk about the hot button issues.
I think if you're going to be provocative, you should have more of like a sensible stance on it rather than just being provocative for provocateur's sake.
Yeah, not like playing clips of the people that we definitely all in this room don't agree with, because that is giving them a platform.
Yeah.
To be clear, we don't have to speak on the hot button issues.
Yeah, it's like, those need to be discussed, but then it's like there are certain people and certain places to do that. And so I think you, specifically you, Jeff, on this show, I don't know if it's like if you need to talk about the hot button issues. Because also it's like it didn't seem to be led with any kind of agenda. You're like, let's just talk about it. So it's like, in what way? Like, why? Like, what do you mean for what?
Pipe is back in his hand.
Pipe is back.
It hasn't left the hand.
Well, right. And so it's that's kind of like a safety blink. Yeah, it's a crutch. It's a crutch. Yeah. It's a crutch. But on the positive note, I think your hair looks really good this late.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's genuine. I think your hair looks really good.
Damn, Daniel.
Marika, I took the note. I mixed the levels.
Yeah, it was a little better. Yeah.
That was another note from last week, was that you the old one was this.
Damn, Daniel, back at it again with the white van.
Riley's grasping her headphones. She moved them off her head. So
I found this
damn,
one.
Daniel,
it's much nicer.
That second one, even with my headphones off, these cans on my head will bleed because of you.
Welcome to the future of Brooks Brothers. Welcome to the future of Brooks Brothers.
Topical.
Brooks Brothers, the oldest clothing retailer in the U.S., filed for bankruptcy last year, Chapter 11, actually. And they were saved by not only the bell, but a sale, $325 million by a brand development firm, which plans to continue and build upon their legacy and keep it as a clothing brand. But, you know, I was reading this New York Times article about how they were in hot water, not hot water, but deep quicksand. They were sinking fast. I'm just wondering, because, again, we're talking about the oldest clothing retailer in the United States. They created Ready to Wear, which isn't a good thing, but still. What if Brooks Brothers wasn't bought out? This begs the question.
Wait, can I say stop the podcast?
Yeah.
I let you run, but I had a couple things that sort of piled up, and I was like, I'm going to forget all of them. Yeah. One, you started this segment by cutting off Riley. And I think it's more than just like interrupting with a what's that? Like, it seems you're learning that lesson. It's in general cutting people off, especially with sounds.
And I thought it was just the what's that that seemed to get to people. So that's
no,
a good
it's
note.
Being interrupted in general. So that's note A.
Yeah.
And to be interrupted by a damn Daniel. Sorry, go on, George. I just had to add that. Like, of all things. But yeah,
no, and
continue.
That makes sense.
Oh, so in that case, actually, you double interrupted Riley, because you interrupted her with the damn Daniel, and then you interrupted her with the theme music for this segment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard, you know, because we get to the 25-minute mark and then we have this run of
George.
Show.
You're interrupting George. You're interrupting George.
I think, and this is like maybe an active solution moving forward, maybe in, if you still aren't over this by the end of this episode and you're doing this audit again next week, you lose soundboard privileges. I think moving in to the, if you have to do this again, you lose soundboard privileges.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because the show is kind of the soundboard and vice versa. So
well, right, just someone else would have it.
And vice versa?
What's that?
You said the show is the soundboard and vice versa. So the soundboard is the show?
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's
it's not good,
wrong.
But he's not wrong. No, that's a good note. Maybe maybe Marika has it. Maybe Marika takes the reins next week of the soundboard.
Mm.
That's another segment we do. Marika takes the reins where she has 2 minutes to 5 minutes, 20 minutes sometimes to do whatever she wants.
Yeah, which is, we don't have to get into that, but that's it's been brought up and it's a whole other issue.
Which we're not doing it this week because apparently the ticking clock part of it.
Yeah, he does hold up a timer on the screen. It includes it. He timed it with a ticking clock and then I'm just supposed to talk. And I mean, you guys know I'm not a comedian. I'm not a performer. And
that's
I'm just given the
you
floor.
You got Hamilton tickets. You got to go backstage because you were a performer for Hamford.
It's Ham. Not because I'm a performer. It's because I tweeted something.
All right. Well, let's just do this fucking
Yeah, we
segment.
Have to get into it. But continue, George.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Yeah, this yeah Jeff, last note. Really quick. You did interrupt George on his note about you continuing to interrupt. So if you could just like let George actually give this whole note, that would
he
be
He stopped
really...
giving the note. So,
Jeff,
but, yeah.
you just interrupted me. So if you could just actually let George finish his whole thing, that would be a really great sign of growth. And take it away, George.
So the next part is, it was your reference to Brooks Brothers inventing ready-to-wear. And that you do this thing a lot where you reference things that you assume everybody just knows. And I didn't totally know what you meant by ready to wear. In my mind, all clothes are ready to wear. That's like they wouldn't be selling them if they aren't ready to wear.
To this point, this is something that was brought up last week too, where I made the statement of like you bring up these things that are so specific and interesting to you in this moment.
The exact quote was that, I guess Steely Dan was wrong. You can buy a thrill. And then nobody fucking laughed.
You just interrupted Marika, right?
I feel like that was just the normal flow of conversation. But
You feel that. Well, you feel that because
I was
that's
totally
what you do.
Interrupted, but
because you do it all the time. So you're like, oh, for me, that's normal conversation. But it's not for everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went down as like Marika started saying something and you said, I remember the quote. I remember the exact quote. I was like, those are cutting off words.
But yeah, to that point, Steely Dan reference, like, we know Steely Dan, but we're not, it's not in the moment. It's not what we're talking about. Very out of nowhere. Hard to relate to. Similar to what George was saying about ready-to-wear, which I also don't know what that is. I also didn't know about the Brooks Brothers news at all. It was this recent. You said it happened a year ago. Why are we talking about it? Et cetera, et cetera.
And that's how Jeff's agents pitch him, is like very out of nowhere, not relatable. And so that's the email all the casting directors get.
A no man.
Like,
there's always an everyman and then there's a no man. Ready-to-wear is fast fashion. That might be a little bit more buzzwordy and of the times.
Okay. Like your Everlane's, your...
Not a good invention.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But they did it nonetheless. This all begs the question, what if they hadn't been bought? What if Chapter 11 sent them to their grave?
It begs the question.
Someone has to ask it, and I feel like, why not us? I went to an all-boys school when I was growing up, and our sister school had these bumper stickers they would sell in their store, like everybody, you know, where you would buy, like... a Letterman jacket or this bumper sticker that said yet. George's girlfriend went to this school. And the yet didn't stand for anything. It was more of a mantra. And it was, I don't have an A in chemistry yet. And so it was basically a way to encourage like all the girls.
So
I'm just saying, why not us?
With what?
We haven't waxed about Brooks Brothers. Yet.
Oh my God.
Got it.
This begs the question, what if Brooks Brothers hadn't been bought? And then I thought we could kind of just talk about what Brooks Brothers might have become. Because let's say that, you know, it eventually is only worth a couple $1,000s and we buy it. What do we decide to use the name for?
Okay. I will give you that question. Getting to that point was an absolute journey that we did not need to go through. But the question of
scenic route.
What would we do with the Brooks Brothers name is fine. and I'm fine to continue.
Thank you.
Podcast continue.
I was thinking it could be so like Brooks Brothers, and then it's like a Creekside nonprofit for pairing at-risk youths with like a Big Brother style mentor.
Brooks
Creekside.
That's a lot more like endearing than what my first thought. Like my first thought was like, keep it clothing, make it a little more risque.
So George, give like a design idea for like, how would you alter a Brooks Brothers outfit to make it a little bit naughty?
Well, I guess I was like, when I think Brooks Brothers, I think like thin sweater you wear over a button down. And I think like, what if there were more holes in it?
The Which one? The sweater?
Well, it's like, it's not even like intended for warmth. It's a layering like vehicle. Like it's not intended to be comfortable. Like they create like what you wear on a casual Friday if you worked on Wall Street. So like, I guess in my, it's like making casual Friday a little more casual. That's a really good line.
That's really good.
That's really good.
Yeah. Marika, Riley, pitches. Brooks Brothers, what could it be if we owned it for only a G?
I was thinking we turn it into a lifestyle brand. Like it's not just about the clothes.
Like a Goop.
It's about Goop, but it's just for brothers.
It's about Goop.
It's a slime store.
It's Goop for brothers.
Meaning?
You know, it's like Goop, they try and be like anyone can be part of Goop. Anyone can Goop. And for Brooks Brothers, it's like only brothers can do it. And so if you are brothers, then it's like, here's the lifestyle for you. So it's like there's brothers retreats. There's brothers DIY. And so it's like how to make a sign for your bedroom door that you share with your adult brother.
The first category is brothers retreats. And the second one is brothers DIY. And that's the end of the list.
Have you
been to the Goop store?
There's a storefront.
There's
they went brick and mortar.
They went brick and
they
mortar.
They went Rick and Morty. Brick and mortar.
What do you mean?
So they have
Rick and Morty merch.
They have moisturizer. That's Pickle Rick in a store. I don't know. It's buzzwords. Anyway, what's the storefront like?
No, it's just very it's a weird eclectic mix of things. I feel like it was like the front is jewelry for some reason. And then you get to the back and it's like gold masks and $80 exfoliator. And then it's also really there's good. Like vibrators somewhere. And it's a whole thing. It's in Soho. So now I'm trying to envision that, but for brothers.
But for brothers.
And wondering like what products it would sell for brothers. Mm-hmm. That I assume the brothers are going together to buy at the same time.
You can only go with your brother. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's like, because anyone can walk in there and be like, oh, I'm a brother. And they're like, I don't think so. It's like you have to show up with your kin, with your brother.
It's like getting into a frat house. So it's like, who do you know here? And then it's like, oh, this is my brother. And he's like, you guys know each other? Yeah,
you were in a frat.
It's like
right?
Blood brothers. But anyway, Jeff.
What was that?
What?
Oh, you just mean blood relatives.
Like that too.
Got it. All right. What about Brooks's brothers? So it's a new nickname for Mel Brooks's brothers. Irving Kaminsky, Bernie Kaminsky, and Lenny Kaminsky. Another name for this is the Kaminsky method.
Interesting. We don't have to stop, but you skipped me. Did I assume just read something that you had written down? Because that was the vibe that it gave off.
What's your idea for Brooks Brothers?
I didn't really... I wanted to point out that I was skipped, but... Mm-hmm. I didn't really get much further than it was a store started by Brooks Whelan. We get him to kind of be the masthead of this thing. But it's unclear. I didn't get far enough to figure out what he's sent. Yeah, go on.
Can I build off this? Because this actually is perfect.
It was kind of like an interruption what you just did.
What if it's Brooks Bothers? So it's a punked style... gotcha prank show hosted by Brooks Whelan.
Sure. I mean, like, is changing the name allowed? It felt like it wasn't.
I think you have to own the Brooks Brothers IP just so that you don't get sued for doing something similar.
Got it. Parody law does not apply.
Can I say stop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
every stop so far has made sense.
Riley addressed it, but it is the you did put up your hand and count 3, 2, 1 while Marie was talking, which is you're kind of right. Is not technically an interruption,
but boy, was it hard to talk to.
Yeah. It's akin to the ticking clock in a way.
Yeah.
It's a literal ticking clock.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to note, and I'm sure you're going to want to get back to it, but I want to stop you before you do. You had this thing about the Kaminsky method, talking about Mel Brooks's brothers. And it felt like you were so excited to say it that you were, A, willing to count down, Marika. but also it felt like so prepared, like this whole segment built to be about that joke. I think maybe... Because the rest of us, we didn't know you were going to do this. We sort of organically came up with these kind of good takes on what Brooks Brothers could be.
Yeah.
And yours, I hate to say, maybe the worst of all the ones that was suggested. yours you sat down, you thought about, and you interrupted people to say. So I guess it's like, before you say something, think, is this worth saying?
Yeah.
And even before that, is this worth interrupting someone for?
Yeah. All right. It's funny because if anybody else, like if Marika had said that, I would have shut down. But because, you know, I've known you for, what, 5 years?
I think we've known each other almost the same amount of time. But, I mean, you guys do live together, so it's fine.
Actually, I do think I met George the spring before I met Marika. So this is, you know, that's fine then. Marika, feel free to speak freely.
Now? I have nothing else to say.
You guys don't have any more Brooks Brothers pitches?
Well, we didn't have the time to prepare and write all of them down like you did,
which
Jeffrey.
Which is what George just said.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. I thought he was making it sound like it was more fun and probably more fruitful to come up with it on the spot.
It's never fun or fruitful to be put on the spot with like a countdown clock in any way. So I guess just like bear that in mind.
Okay. And just because I did have two more prepared, can I just say them?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Go for it.
Rooks Brothers. So it's a party store specializing in chess piece Halloween costumes.
Did you say Rooks Brothers? Is that what it was?
Rooks Brothers,
yeah.
Like I also feel like you didn't explain the game well enough. Like,
it's not a game. It's just waxing.
I mean, the fact that the name can be changed, but go on. Next one.
Books Bother. And it's just a book burning ceremony.
Not a book burning content.
So with these, we actually, I just want to like point out, this is kind of similar to George's point in that it's like in us waxing, playing the game, it's like we all kept the name of Brooks Brothers. And like, we're like, okay, what ideas can come up with this? We didn't know we were allowed to fully change the name entirely, which of course you could make anything. You could make up anything and be like, oh, now this is what it is. But the whole point of like the container of the game is like, okay, with the IP of Brooks Brothers, what can you make with that? And so obviously you could change you Cook's Brothers, it's cookware, right? So it's like I can do that too. It's
that's
not
actually
special.
Really good.
Well, it's fine. I guess here's a piece of advice. Play by the same rules. You don't get to make up your own rules for a game that you invent. If you're gonna like tell everyone what the rules are, and then you also have to play by those rules.
Yes. Okay. And I think that really applies to every single episode of this show. So that's a great note, Riley. Also, I do want to point out that Jeff is just making faces in response.
Try not to
interrupt. Which is what George pointed out earlier is of like the just kind of making a face while we're actually making some good points.
But yeah, you're correct. You didn't interrupt until that point when you did, but we'll let it go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, my social battery is starting to come back, I have to say, because, you know, we're all less social in the winter, habitually, and I feel like I've sort of charged up for a summer of filling my cup. But it can be easy to ignore our social battery altogether and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter, like I said. What's the right amount of socialization for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm in therapy every week. It definitely helps me rearrange my priorities so that I can prioritize my social battery and making sure I have that time to recharge, which I need. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/whatsthat today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatsthat. Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome to Vine or Brine. This is
My
a game
Christ.
For cash.
Stop. Stop. I just want to point out it is a this or that podcast. Continue.
Podcast. Yeah. Stop. I do feel like Melanie's note was not to make more than one of those per episode. And I did.
Right.
I did that.
Okay.
Podcast proceed. This is all for cash. This is $50 for every right answer, $10 owed to me for every wrong answer.
Whoa. Stop.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up.
I was going to make the same note.
I thought there would be no notes on that because you have 5-1 odds. 5-1
You'll be fine.
Guarantee you get this one. Yeah, you guys are probably going to make a lot of money. So I don't know.
What are the rules?
Have you guys ever played Vine or Brine?
Did you invent the game?
I feel like I've played it before, but I also made up the rules today.
Got it. So, no, none of us have played it.
You played it in your own mind as you were making it up.
And you haven't played it.
Yep.
So Vine or Brine, basically I'm going to play some audio and you tell me whether it's from the app that used to exist, Vine, where it was just consisted of 6-second videos, launched the careers of such characters as Miel Bredo, Gabe Gundacker, etc., Demi. I'm starting to get tired.
So?
What?
It's just like I wish that you guys would have played it before so I didn't have to like run through the rules. It's like when somebody doesn't know how to play like Risk.
You're telling us about people whose careers were launched by Vine. Those aren't rules. We know this. We know all those people. How do you play the game?
So I'm gonna play a sound clip and you tell me whether it comes from a Vine. Or whether it has to do with brine.
Whether it okay. has to do with brine? Can you elaborate on that a little bit? That's for the rules that I don't really understand of if it has to do with it.
If because it could be a vine. Brine, yeah.
There could be a vine that does relate to brine.
None of them do. Let's just say that. But that's a good note for next time is that I should kind of get a gotcha question. All right, ready?
Yes.
Here we go. First one.
Two.
Oh, just buzz in or like say it and then... here we go.
Two bros chilling in the hot tub, 5 feet apart because they're not gay. Listen, that's a vine.
That's correct. $50 to Marika Brownlee on the sax. Okay, here we go. Second one.
It's a little Mitt Romney.
That's a vine.
That's correct. $50 to the man in my bedroom. All right, here we go. Number three.
The emphasis. I'm going to go with brine.
That's absolutely correct. That's $50 to the woman in a statement pant. All right, here we go. Number four.
By saying this, look, this is kosher salt. Hope you guys can see it. Listen, it's a coarse grain. You got to use kosher salt.
I'm buzzing.
Yep.
That's brine.
That's correct. $100 to the woman in an orange. Oh, I hit the button by accident. That's $150.
Wow.
Great.
All right, here we go.
You can't sit with us. Actually, Megan, I can't sit anywhere. I have hemorrhoids.
That is a vine. That's also meal.
That's correct, and that's going to be double points because she got the person right. I should have mentioned that, by the way, if you can say who it is.
Oh, the first one was Anthony.
That's absolutely correct. That's $200 to Marika, $100 to Riley.
The second one was Gabe Gundacker.
That's absolutely correct. $100 to Riley and George, $200 to Marika. Actually, $150 to Riley. This is unfucking believable because that's almost $500.
Stop.
If you look at it.
Don't be mad at us for winning a game that you invented and the rules that you made.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself, which is so much worse because the show's going to end and I can't even redirect that anger. It's going to be inward the entire night and it's Friday.
Well,
so
also, my point was going to be like you're paying your roommate like you. You could think of that as just like investing in your home in a way.
He's not going to spend it on our house. He's going to grow mold in the living room.
Whoa, not yet.
All right, here we go. Ready?
And whisk. That's brine.
That's correct.
And I'm going to take a shot at who made the brine sound.
Yep.
Yeah. Dr. Pickle?
So you're at 140 now because you got that part wrong.
Girl.
So that's minus $10.
It was so close, George.
I'm going to go brine.
That's correct. That's Saltwater by Geowolf.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say that song's by Geowolf.
That's absolutely correct, George. $190. So, yeah, Marika's at 250, George, you're at 190, Riley, you're at 150. Here we go. Last one. This is triple or nothing. So if you get this wrong, cash is gone. But if you get it right, that's $150.
LeBron James.
That's a vine.
That's correct. Oh, my fucking God. Yeah. Let's add this up. $250. $190. $300. That's $740. This is beyond fucked. I should not have done this. God damn it. Why am I doing this? Yeah, this is... And my balance in my bank account is pretty low right now, so this sucks. Just give me a second to talk amongst you guys yourself.
I feel like it's not even worth stopping, but I assume he's Venmoing all of us cash. So
oh, gotcha.
I feel fine with this.
Yeah, I ran out of money. I had $440 in my bank account. And
right, and you owe Riley alone $450.
It's $300, but yeah.
Oh, I thought she had $150.
I did have $150.
Yeah, it's triple or nothing of $50, not of your entire total.
Oh.
That wasn't properly explained.
I said triple or nothing, so this one would be for $150.
Okay.
I cannot pay you. This is embarrassing. It's like your credit card being declined at a fucking Bed Bath & Body Works.
Has that happened to you before?
More often than not.
What are you trying to buy?
Salt.
Pretty cheap store. They got coupons all the time. It's like
trying to buy
three herbs.
Well, I'm not a spendthrift, so I can't like...
I mean, they're not even coupons. It's like, you know, $5 candles, but whatever.
I guess this is the last stop, as it were. The last, you know, train's coming into the station on film, and everyone in the movie theater is freaking out. What have we learned? What have I learned? What have you taught me? Let's recap.
Well, I think it makes sense if you recap because it'll show your retention level.
What have we taught you?
At this point, my skin has thickened a little bit. The calluses are starting to form. I'm less emotional than I thought I would be at the end of this thing. Mostly because, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I know that you guys have my best interests at heart and you want me to continue on to great success. And the things that I've learned, I would say, is less interruptions, ideally no interruptions, unless it goes with the flow of conversation.
Which is different. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you and remind you that your idea of a conversation flow is very different from the kind of normal conversation flow.
And his name is John C.
That was just to show Marika that I mixed that one down 6 decibels too.
That's from WWE.
You've got to be fucking kidding me. Now I owe you $240. Yeah. I've learned not to interrupt. I've learned not to make faces when other people are talking, but to actively engage in conversations that I begin. And this isn't about the show, but I've learned that I'm going to come home in 9 days to some fine wine and have a good time with my buddy George Sine Saba.
Can I ask Jeff, like your goal is to bring George and Riley on because they're your two good friends and you felt like they were going to give good positive feedback. Do you feel like you accomplished what you wanted to?
Yeah, I think that I got the best notes this episode than I have the past 3 weeks because they do know me so well. And they fell on steady ears in that I was ready to hear it. And maybe I should have started with you guys because the first episode, I was just not prepared. I was taking everything personally. But my hope is that Amir hears this, and I think I'm going to offer him the olive branch this week. I think I'm going to reach out and say, hey, I hope you've heard how hard I've been working to get better. And would you like to come on, hash out the last of the things we have to hash out, and move on as if nothing happened?
That's great. Maybe rethink the move on as if nothing happened. I think you'll be changed. He'll be changed regardless. We'll all be changed. We've all been through this.
Yeah.
But
it's impossible to move on as if nothing happened.
That was a poor choice of words.
Do you want to rephrase it because it was a poor choice? Do you want to try again?
Let's move forward with the understanding that I'm the best I've ever been as a host and as a person. I think I saw George nod his head.
Yeah. I mean, I buy that. Are you going to do so is the next HeadGum podcast episode going to be another audit, or are you going to get Amir back on?
I think both. I think let's get Amir on here. Let him air his grievances, right, Marika? On air and almost force a reconciliation in front of an audience.
I think he said time to sit with whatever problems he's been having.
He'll have a calendar month at that point.
I'll pass these notes on to him from this episode, and he'll be able to make of those what he wants.
And were they written positive to me, or
they're written as as they were stated?
Well, I have some notes for you guys.
Would love to hear them.
George, this is not your first rodeo. You know, you've been on a lot of HeadGum podcasts, you've been on a lot of other podcasts. I don't understand why you don't have a mic at this point.
That's a good
bite
note.
The bullet.
That's a good note.
Riley, I feel like you should make the big podcaster's room the little podcaster's room.
I should turn my home office into a bathroom.
Nailed it. Nicole Byer style. I think that that would be a pretty damn good bathroom. And then you wouldn't have to get up and leave the room to, well, we. Marika, you've been through this whole audit with me. And not only can I not thank you enough for sticking by my side this whole time and defending me in the face of adversity, but I want to thank you for your stewardship. You were the shepherd, my Lord and Savior this year, and I was a sheeple, and I've realized the terrors of my ways, and I'm back, baby.
You're welcome. I'm imagining a sheep realizing the terrors of his ways. I feel like that's the wolf's job. But it's an image that I like and I'm having fun with.
What do you guys have to plug? What do you have going on? Social media projects, point the people to. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This has been a treat and really enlightening experience. I think we can bring a lot back to our show, which I'll plug, Review, also on the HeadGum Podcast Network. And if anyone has any feedback about that show and kind of and specifically like Jeff's attitude, his character on that podcast, like, feel free to reach out to me about it. And I'm at Riley Anspa on Instagram and at Riley Coyote on Twitter. Projects to plug: fun, super cool, immersive show Into the Mist is still running these next couple Fridays in April, so get tickets at intothemist.net/tickets. Jeff was on it at one point and he was only a one night guest, and you can kind of understand why he was a one night only kind of guest at this point. Yeah. But yeah, this has been really fun. And we're doing our first review live show on the internet, not in person. You can get tickets for that
at headgum.com/live.
Headgum.com/live. So come on down. It's April 21st. It's a Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a good time.
George will be there.
George will be there.
I will be there. Yeah. So I guess I could plug the review live show on April something at
21st.
I said the 28th. Didn't want to steer anyone wrong. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be oodles of fun. Jeffrey and Riley are both going to be there. You can get tickets for that on headgum.com/live. Other things to plug. My Twitter is at George Saba, GEORGESSABA. My Instagram is at secret George Saba, the word secret, and then how I spelled my name. This is a new one. A cool little leftist comedy organization called Comedy Collective LA. I'm doing very dumb things for them. It's good. The things I'm doing are dumb. You can see me naked in the first sketch I did. And yeah, that's cool. You can stream Cherry on Apple TV if you've got hours to spare. you can follow my wine updates on my food Instagram, Secret George Saba. It's spelled a little different. It's SEATCRETGEORGESSABA. Link to it is in my regular Instagram bio, which is easier to spell. God.
Every time you plug, it's the hardest ways to follow you.
I'll frame it as a riddle.
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or Letterboxd at Marie Kaelon, MarikaElon. Also, the live shows, review. The day before is a high and mighty 420 mega sesh, which will be interesting in the time. Really exciting. The day this comes out, there's a We Hate Movies live show. So that's fun. And then May 1st, the Doughboys are doing a 25-hour charity Doughathon on Twitch for free. So tune into that at some point. That's going to be a time. I think they said at one point if they raise $50,000, they're going to do another Chicken Nugget Power Hour. Maybe. Ooh. I don't want to hold them to that. Don't listen to me. But that'll be awful if they have to do that again. So you should donate money. Yeah, that's all I got.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Jeffrey James, on Twitter at Jeff Boyard. And yeah, the review live show, like we said, all of Riley and I's proceeds, profits, whatever the right word is, will be going to the Chinatown Community for Equitable Development, which is a grassroots organization in LA that helps fight against bad gentrification development efforts in Chinatown and gives multi-ethnic, intergenerational residents of the area a stronger say in future decision making in the area. We'll be back next week with Amir Blumenfeld himself, a hopeful reconciliation, and some more exciting guests coming up in April and May. Can you guys join me in a namaste? The light within me honors the light within you. Namaste.
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 That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Laitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.